WNST. Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively back in God's country. We're in Carroll County. We are in Greenmount Station in beautiful Hempstead. Beautiful day to drive up here. Did the back roads. I did Hereford and all the way over here. The Maryland Lottery sets me on all of these adventures. Last week we did double duty in Dundalk, which I know Dave's going to appreciate. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. We're giving these away. Michelle's going to get one of these for bringing me that incredible bookmaker sandwich. It's actually in the shot. I have half of it left. I got to box that up. My wife's going to have that for din-din tonight. I'm going to be getting a crab cake out here. It is the Maryland Crab Cake Tour, also presented by our friends at Window Nation, 866-90-NATION. You buy two, you get two free. I got a new offer here in August I'm telling everybody about. My pal Leonard Raskin at Raskin Global. I still have not christened the very, very significant a crab claw hammer with the beer bottle opener on the side. It's all brought to you by Raskin Global and RaskinGlobal.com. I bring this Maryland Crab Cake Tour out on the road. I try to put together friends of mine, and the 25th anniversary continues on. I invited Carl Delmont here, not only just because you were a longtime sponsor, 25th anniversary, but the women's soccer thing. I thought when I invited you out here, you would be red, white, and blued up. We'd be ready to bring back the cup. And I erred in inviting you out. Now we have to talk about them losing. And the other thing is, this guy here has the bowling alley there. Chris Richard, I've known for 15 years. We've been doing the show up here. Carl was a sponsor at Fremont Mortgage. But Dave Richardson is from my homeland of Dundalk. Man, when I said I was doing a show at Drug City, you're the guy that actually knew all about Drug City and was ready to come down and do it. But instead, you're like, hey, we're opening the mobile casino up here. I have John Martin on every week talking about Swark and all that. And then both of you showed up at the same time, and we're over here talking about business in Carroll County and life and storms and all that stuff. And I'm like, let's just do this on the radio. It'd be a lot more fun. So how you guys doing, man?
Doing well, doing well. Well, doing well considering. No power for since Monday with the storms that came through, and I'm in a well, so no showers either. So
yeah, I had the same issue 2 weeks ago. It was really
put a little bit extra cologne on for you today.
That was the day we started the day over at El Guapo in Catonsville. We had breakfast, then we had lunch at the local in White Marsh, and then we had dinner at Costas. And I walked into Costas like, you've been out on the road all day. You must have lost your electricity. I said, yeah, the Oriole game was on. You don't have the Oriole game when you don't have electricity. So I had to plan the whole day to be places to at least watch the Orioles. This is, for all of us, a good problem to have that the Baltimore Orioles are having us plan days. But we're sports people. Part owner of the Harrisburg Heat. I was in Harrisburg last week, Carl Delmont. Soccer coach. You own a bowling alley. But we're all, like, bonded by baseball to some degree in this community because we're all old enough to have lived here when there was no football, right? I mean, mm-hmm. Carl, you came from New Jersey, yep. Land of Springsteen. You're a Dundalk guy. Mm-hmm. The baseball heartbeat for this being back and being relevant every night in August, this is so missing. It makes me very proud to have done Free the Birds. When I talk about doing Free the Birds, people ask me, I'm like, this is the reason I did it, because you know the score every night, even when you don't have electricity. You got a sports bar here and a sports book. You got a bowl in it. The community's worked up about this, and this Kevin Brown thing is like the it's been the most electric thing I've seen since Free the Birds. But it's happening when they're in first place, and people, they're relevant again, and that I think that changes a little bit of the heartbeat of the community in a way. Agree?
Absolutely. I mean, you think of Baltimore, it's synonymous with the Orioles and then, of course, the Ravens. You know, when the Colts left, as you know, you lived through it. It's just one of those things where there was a long mourning period. Tagliabue told us to build a museum. And then, of course, Art Modell came in and saved the day. And then for a long time, the Ravens became, like, the dominant because of
they were well-run.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And they were winning, you know, and it's one of those things. So we're blessed to have two great teams. Let's hope that things you know, both of them kind of on the same thing when it comes to the organizational side of it.
Thought of you the other day, man. I was up in Harrisburg. I went up to see Pat Benatar in Central Pennsylvania. And I went through Harrisburg, and I had never really explored. They had an awful fire in their city market in downtown Harrisburg that my wife and I were not aware of, and we had never really been down there. And, you know, sense of community, right? I mean, I just like it. Sports brings people together. I mean, you're from my community in Dundalk. Mm-hmm. I mean, The Orioles were everything we were kids in Dundalk.
We were kids, absolutely. I mean, that's what we did. And it's gone away for 20. I mean, we had a nice little run a few years ago.
Well, I've had the station 25 years. It's my 25th anniversary. It's our 26th summer of being on the air nonstop, except when we've had storms hit us, like you. and we've had four summers. Four. Yeah. 12, 14, 16, and this summer. There was a period back in the aughts, 04, where the Palmeiro, they were decent until like July, and they completely fell apart. I think the Hargrove era, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe it was Lee Mazzilli before. Either way, it might have been Lee Mazzilli. That's how long. It's been 20 years. Yeah. So in 26 summers of owning a sports radio station here, our baseball team has been relevant, four of them, and this is the most relevant they've ever been, right? Young, exciting, in first place, not playing from behind. Every game, there's a different star. I miss that. You know, I mean, I'm famous for fighting with Peter Angelos. Everybody else fighting with John now, except me. I wrote my little letter to him, but let everybody else fight. What I was fighting for was this sense of community, this sense of this is important, this bringing people together. I think we figured that out during the plague too, right? I mean, sports, business, community, bringing people together is important.
And Nestor, that's what we need in this city. We have so many black marks on this city, what we've been through for the past 5 or 6 years. You know, we need a sense of community here that I think a lot of other cities share around their sports teams. That we've had the Ravens, but we haven't had, you know, when baseball season comes, it kind of goes away. But it's finally great to have a year-round sense of community. I think we need it as a city.
Well, you're in the sports space, man. I saw him. I'm over at Guinness, and the Guinness Brewing, they were doing the Monday night party for the Preakness.
The draw.
And, you know, listen, man, you get me out. Like, 1 year Scott Wyckoff went, and I saw Chicago play, members of the band Chicago. I'm like, man, I got to get invited to these things. And then last year, you were nice enough to invite me, John Waite. From the Babies,
love
Bad
John
English.
Wade. I brought John Waite in. I had to bring John Waite in.
Well, you came over and told me about this. You brought Dishwalla to the Green Mount Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
The Duck. And by the way, I asked you, I insulted you. I said, David, are you duck pins or 10 pins? Both. You both said both. Because, you know, Carl lives here up here in Hempstead. And you've been to the bowling alley many times, but like, duck pins, 10 pin bowling, man. You're in the horse business. You're like a real sports guy.
That's part of our culture, man. Duck pin bowling. That's when I was a kid. When you were a kid growing up in
East Point Bowl every Saturday morning, 8:45.
My father worked for Bethlehem Steel. That's what we did as a family. You know, that was our family.
Did you go to where Johnny U Lanes? Were you?
That was 10 pins. I was the little guys. You know, as a little guy.
You went East Point, or
I was a duck pin. I was a duck pin guy.
Pinland.
That's why.
Middlesex. Where were you bowling?
East Point. East Point. That's where I threw my first bowling ball at East Point.
What league
East
were you
Point
in?
Lane.
I was in the Highland Towers.
I was on Saturday morning
Highland Towers.
Saturday morning youth, you know, as a kid. Grew up there. It's where I met a lot of my friends that I still interact with to this day.
People wonder why I'm messed up, man. I wake up every Saturday morning and, you know, watch the Three Stooges, and then my mom would get me my bowling. It was at a purple bag, and I had two little red and white balls. We bought at East Point Mall at the sporting goods store there next to the Friendlies. And that was my life. You know, my best friend growing up, Doug Bennett, I met bowling.
Yeah.
You know, we bowled every Saturday. And, and like, there's still a part of me that wants to get out to the lanes.
And it's not.
And keggle.
And what I've learned, the reason why me and my wife in 2017, we purchased it. It came available. We wanted to save it, not for a bowling alley. We wanted to save it for the sense of community. We did. I've been there since it's open, and that's where I've met a lot of friends. But I wanted to save it for the community because it's a community center. It's a meeting place. It's not just a bowling alley. It really is the
Carl's
town
been
center.
There. Hmm? What makes life beautiful in Hempstead? I mean, you know, you're a Jersey guy. You can live anywhere you want. You're in a mortgage business.
Yeah, from the mortgage perspective, I'll say this. I mean, this is why Hempstead's grown so well. You have great schools, you have low crime, you have low taxes, and you have community. And people are looking for that. And it's affordable. I mean, all home prices have gone up quite a bit. But, you know, there was a thing where this area expanded. Roberts Field came up in, I guess, it was the late 80s, early 90s. More people started moving out here. And then somewhere around 2000, that next real estate boom, a lot of people moved to Hanover, Pennsylvania. So you have to kind of go through here. But this area has expanded. Like I said, the schools are great. Carroll County is just a really nice area to grow up, you know, raise kids.
It's kind of far, but not far. I mean, every time
it really
isn't. Well, when I lived in the city, which was the first 15 years of me coming up here, I mean, thanks to Carl, We brought every Raven player that was willing to come out here and hang out. I mean, I remember the last Raven show that I ever probably will do with the current Raven was Sam Cook in the corner there before the playoff game.
He lives in Westminster.
And Sam's such a great guy. But, I mean, I have so many memories in this space out of Greenmount Station in Hempstead. But so I've been driving out here, and I would always say I love doing the shows in November and December because you would drive out and see the Christmas lights. And Chris thinks that's corny, right? You know, right? But I would see that and I say, man, it puts me in the mood for like chestnuts roasting on our open fire. Because the Christmas lights in this community during Christmas, it was just awesome. I mean, anytime I do the show up here in November, December, and you were a part of 98% of them, you and your family, your daughters. How, give me the soccer thing. Your daughter's got, your world's got to be losing its mind at the United States of America. Like, this is your thing, dude. Yeah, women's soccer in America
actually,
is your
tonight,
thing.
Tonight starts tryouts for the local high school, Man Valley. My oldest is the assistant head coach of varsity, head coach of JV, so I'm going to go out and help out with tryouts tonight through Friday. And actually, I didn't share this with you. I was actually recruited to be the head coach for Carroll Community College for the women's soccer.
Okay.
And unfortunately, they hired me in April, which probably wasn't enough time. And they only had three players. I got us up to 14, but through injuries and some work stuff, we got down to 10. So this announced the other day we're going to wait till next year. But there's like four colleges in the conference that can't field a team. So that's
why is that? Girls play soccer, man.
They do, and I'm trying to get the bomb. But one AD at another school told me is that guys keep thinking, oh, I'm just going to play and I'll go D1. Girls are like, oh, high school's over, I guess I'll get a job. That sounds a little bit too stereotypical for me, but you know me, I'm not going to give up. We'll have a team next year. But yeah, as far as the World Cup, look, we've come to, I would argue that maybe this is the one female professional team that may have a bigger following than the men. Simply because the men's team hasn't done well for as long, and they've set the bar so high that we just expect them to be in the finals, right? So now that
I'm expecting it to be a cakewalk, right?
Like, I didn't think cakewalk, but you thought that they would go far.
Well, the first game when they won 2-0, my wife and I sat and watched.
Yeah, 3-0.
3-0. Yeah. Well, I said they're going to win 9-0. Like that's what I
kinda
thought.
Like what Netherlands did,
and then it didn't. Then they didn't. From a tactical standpoint, I want your tactical part of what went wrong?
It didn't seem like there was a lot of sync between the team. The teams that won, I would watch them build up, and they would come down. If nothing was there, if the defense adjusted, they would just reset and go back again. If that didn't work, it was just like natural. Whereas this, it just seemed like a lot of panic passing, a lot of 50-50 balls. That's not really what they were used to. And look, I'm not in training camp. Maybe they watched film and realized that the other teams are going to be much more, I guess, aggressive defensively, and that's what they tried to do. But whatever they did, it didn't work. You know, for me, I look at it like this. Here's the good news. Soccer's exploding here in the U.S., continues to grow. It's got an amazing growth rate right now. But I think it's also good for the sport that the rest of the countries are catching up. The reason we were so good is we were the first country to really invest money into, maybe not enough, but invest money into the women's side. And now, all of a sudden, you look at all the European, South American, Asian countries that are putting in, like, you know, PSG and Lyon and
well,
and
it's
all these
an amazing thing.
Yeah,
the other
teams.
Thing with soccer, and I'll say this, having traveled the world, and you know this too, Dave, that they play it everywhere, and they played it at such a higher level than us for 100 years that it should come as no shock that when you roll a soccer ball out in Brazil or Italy or England, and women have a chance to play in that environment, in that culture, wherever they are, that they would catch up at some point quickly because of the nature of the sport and the electricity of the sport in their culture, right? So I think culturally it changed here when your daughters were born. 20, 25 years ago, it changed here.
Brandi Chastain.
One shirt off, scores. 99, right?
Yeah, I made a joke. At that point, when she scored the winning PK and ripped off her jersey and showed a sports bra, 7 million young girls said, I'm playing soccer. 10 million girls went out and said, what's a sports problem?
Right. Hey, well, right. Of course. But, you know, all these years later, we still expect it to be dominant because we were really good at it and the other girls weren't yet. Mm-hmm. And then they started kicking a soccer ball in Australia, New Zealand, at the World Cup. It's been fun to watch. I've watched more of the games than I would even admit.
Almost was it 3 million people watched at 5 in the morning? It was some crazy number.
Well, and everybody on my timeline was up. I said, am I the only one up? And next thing you know, there's 20 comments on there. No, because of people like you, right? I mean, you're one of the people out in the community here that loves it, breathes it. That's really, when I thought of, I was watching soccer at 4 in the morning last week, and I thought, I'll get Delmont out of here. We'll be going to the final. Like, I cannot, they can't believe they got eliminated, right? Like, it's...
I don't know. I mean, you look at the first round, and it wasn't inspirational play. And a lot of people are wondering, you know, look, Carly Lloyd said it. The goalpost was the MVP because it saved a one goal. I mean, they could have been eliminated. But then you look back, Brazil, phenomenal. Marta's done, right? She's retiring now. Very, very good team. They were knocked out in the first round. Germany knocked down the first round. But it's really exciting to see, like, some of the African countries and some of the Asian countries. Like, look at Morocco. Like, that's a great story. Jamaica was a great story.
I've been to Jamaica 100 times. They play soccer there.
Oh, yeah.
Usain Bolt, but they play soccer there. Not a shock that athletic women in Jamaica could, you know.
But they don't have the resources.
But over a generation, the love of the game. Mm-hmm. They have the love of the game.
Yeah, I mean,
they didn't have the resources in Brazil, but they would kick the United States' ass because they have a love of it.
Well, but for Brazil, once they get to the national side, they do put resources in. But when you look at, like, Jamaica, it's a small country. I mean, their whole income is tourism, right? So
didn't the girls have to do a GoFundMe to like,
a lot
make
of teams
the trip?
Did. Wow. Do you remember, I think it was the 2000...
See, that makes it more legit to me, you know? Exactly. It really does.
I think it was Nigerian men. They got denied. They wanted to bring roosters to sacrifice before the game for World Cup about 10 years ago, and they were FIFA's like, no, you can't do that.
I saw that in Major League. You're making that up.
Yeah, sure.
Carl Delmont's here, Fremont Mortgage. I'm going to talk some mortgages. Dave Richardson is here. Chris Richards is back making crab cakes for me. It's a Maryland Crab Cake Tour. It's all brought to you by friends at the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with Window Nation, as well as Raskin Global. We're back at Pappas in Glen Burnie. Anne Arundel County Executive Stuart Pittman's going to join us. There's a guy who's a horse racing guy. We're going to be there on the 29th of the month, and then next week I'm at Mako down in Ocean City. I just heard from Ben Cardin's folks. Senator Van Hollen's coming on. Westmore emailed me this morning. He's coming by, the great governor. So we're going to talk a little bit about the lease, talk about things. You're a horse racing guy. See your little polo thing up here. We talk a little bowling alley. I'm going to do casinos with you and Chris. Sure. We'll talk about mobile and mobile wagering and the community and all that. But the horse racing side of what you do, because he was in the soccer business with the Harrisburg Heat. Where are we with Blast and Heat? Give me a little update on that, league update.
So I was just texting earlier, we have to have another ownership meeting. I think it's going to be next week, but some good stuff going on. There's a national contract, some other things. The season will start. I think two teams are going to play Black Friday. They'll start, but everyone else will start.
You play at the Farm Show Arena, right?
We're still at the Farm Show, yeah.
I drove by there for the first time in like 20 years this weekend. I'm like, because I used to do old Spirit Heat games there when Boy Wonder's daddy was kicking the ball up in for the Harrisburg.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't know how to pronounce
What's great is he's still, someone pays him, I don't know who it is, but he still wears like retro Heat gear. Like,
Mark does?
No, Christian.
Christian, okay.
Christian's like on the Chelsea plane. He's got like a Heat t-shirt with the old 1991 logo or the hat, and he was at a Jack Harlow concert and had the same thing. He had a hat on, and I was like, oh, this is so cool.
He's a pretty big celebrity, I would say, right?
Yep. Now he's in Italy.
Well, you're in the horse business, and I talked about this John Waite thing. What was I doing there? I mean, I want to understand, because I see you in and around horse racing. I sort of like the races. I like the Preakness. I've been to the Derby. I mean, I'm a guy that has sat on these airways all those years trying to get the slots into the racetracks with Sal Sinatra and back in the, 100 years ago with the DeFrancis family and all that. The horse race, I fear for it all the time, right? Like, I go to the Preakness every year, and I'm like, how are people making money doing this? I see the OTBs and people betting on it, but the actual, like, tracks and what Bill Cole, City Councilman Bill Cole, has been on the show a few times talking about this glass thing that's going to happen at Pimlico. And I look down and I'm like, well, we're going to do it the same way we've always been doing it. And I know
struggle.
There's a sense of frustration.
Yeah,
right?
No, it's a struggle.
Now, what is your role? Tell me what you
am. I'm the executive director of the Maryland Thoroughbred Horsemen's Association. And we're one of the major partners in thoroughbred horse racing. So you've got Maryland Jockey Club and you've got Maryland Thoroughbred Horsemen's Association. We are... Best way to equate it, we're kind of like the Players Association. So we represent the owners and the trainers, and we manage the purse account as well in conjunction with Maryland Jockey Club. But for the purses that are paid on not only for Preakness Day, Preakness Weekend, but for the this weekend, this Friday at Laurel. So that's where we've
got... How many weeks are you racing?
We race year-round here in Maryland. We still do. We still race year-round. We go between Pimlico and Laurel. We're getting ready to head to Timonium as well. We run 1 week at Timonium, or 7 days at Timonium during the state fair. So we're ready to kick that off during the state fair. So that's always a fun, you know, low-key kind of
shorter track, yeah?
Yeah, it's only a 5-furlong racetrack, so it's only a tiny, tiny racetrack compared to the mile-plus racetracks.
It's always wild when you're on York Road and the horses are running, because they don't run much.
They don't run
and
much.
Look, I'm 55 years old. Mm-hmm. I've only seen horses run a couple of handful of times. Like, when you're driving on York Road and you see, like, the tracks open and horses are running around in there, that doesn't happen much.
Yeah.
And my wife didn't really know about it, but she saw it maybe like 10 years. We went out to the fair. We go for sticks or concerts or whatever.
Sure.
And we went out there one day and we got fair traffic, you know. And we're like, oh, we got the traffic. Ah, we forgot. And then you see the horses go and you're like, that's pretty. Reminded me of my childhood.
Fun, yeah.
And my cousins lived above the Flaming Pit, Pedonia Road, well, up the hill, right? My Aparicio cousins. Mm-hmm. My Uncle Omar, that everybody knew, he was the manager at the Flaming Pit. And Ordell Bracy, the Colts, the 70s and all that. So as a boy, my dad would, on Saturday afternoons, we would drive up York Road. There was no 83, or even 83 wasn't what we did in 1976. But I remember seeing the horses, but in my life, I've only seen it. And you get 1 week to do it.
Well, you
got to
come out. Yeah, we have 3 days. You know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then
Well,
Friday,
Nick's
Saturday,
got
Sunday,
great
Monday.
Oysters too.
They do.
Well, everybody
phenomenal.
Nick's everything up there is going to be first class.
Phenomenal.
I promise you on that.
So
tell Tommy I said hello.
Yeah, I mean, the state fair, that was my first horse race ever. That's where a lot of people in Maryland, that's where they kind of get the horse racing bug, and people that work in the horse racing industry. They attended their first race with their dad.
But you're a kid from Dundalk, and you fell
over. Absolutely. For my father. My father brought me to a horse race at Timonium. And yeah,
Ronnie Franklin was from your neighborhood,
yeah,
was he not?
Yeah, yeah.
Was it? It's true,
yeah,
right?
Isn't that crazy? Yeah, so. But, so we're going to kick off at the state fair. So we'll have a 7-day meet at at the state fair. Then we move to Pimlico for 3 weeks. We'll run a 3-day, a little tiny fall mini meet at Pimlico. Then we head back to Laurel for a lot of stakes, and we're at Laurel until the Preakness.
When's the McKay stuff?
So
Maryland Millions.
Maryland Million, I believe, the 12th, 13th, somewhere around that time, middle of October. So that's always a fun celebration. That's kind of that's Maryland Racing's biggest day. You know, even though the Preakness is more of a national event, that's where
Ravens are in Wembley, or not Wembley, they're in London.
Are they that weekend?
Yeah, London that week. It's my birthday weekend. Yeah.
Ah, gotcha.
Tennessee Titans.
So, are you going to London or are you coming to Merrill Million?
I was trying to go.
We'll do your
to,
first class at Merrill Million.
I was trying to go to Cabo to see Sammy Hagar because it's his birthday too.
Come out to Merrill Million.
You know, I was going to go to. I didn't get tickets.
You'll spend your money at Cabo.
I'm not going to Cabo for crying out loud. You know.
All right. So
I'm actually going to see Sammy Hagar in Greenville, South Carolina.
Greenville.
My mother's from Abbeville, South Carolina. My mother's been dead 5 years, and I at the end of her life, I wanted to take her to Abbeville one last time.
Okay.
I didn't, but I got to go to Abbeville.
Wow.
So, like, I'm going to my mom's hometown for my birthday.
Nice.
Jam with Sammy Hagar.
Nice.
And I'm going to pretend I'm in Cabo.
Well, when you talk to Sammy, see if Sammy will play the bowling alley.
I'm going
to
get some Cabo Wabo tequila and pretend I'm there.
See if Sammy will play the bowling alley.
Mas tequila, he'll play the bowling alley.
We'll follow up. You know, like I said, we had Dishwalla there last year. We had John Waite at the Preakness draw this past year that you were
at. He was great.
I think it was a phenomenal show. So, you know, definitely looking for
Dundalk
some new
rockers.
Ideas.
Dundalk Rockers, man.
We're looking for some ideas.
I'll say this. The Preakness this year, and I would get myself in trouble if I were on live radio. So, Carl, I'll tell you, this really happened. I did a segment at Fadley's, and everybody was sharing on their timeline, and it was a WMAR like post. They were sharing this. It wasn't Jamie Costello. It was just a MAR 2 News link, and it says Bruno Mars to play Preakness, and I'm like, that's just some jack wagon sharing something from 2014, right? Because he played 10 years ago at the Preakness. And now he's like, it's $500. He plays at the casino twice a year down in National Harbor. He plays in Vegas. He doesn't tour. He just does one. Goes in and does 3 shows and gets $5 million and goes back and suns himself in Hawaii, right? And comes out, you know, does his thing. And I went on a podcast at Fadley's all day long talking about fake news. I'm like, whoever is sharing this stupid Bruno Mars thing from 10 years ago, stop doing it. And I didn't air it. It didn't make it to air. but I put something on Facebook about, please stop sharing this fake Bruno Mars thing on my timeline. And everybody hit me. They're like,
Call me first.
No, he's really playing. It's really Bruno Mars. He's really playing the Preakness. I forgot the punchline of the whole thing. My wife's favorite artist is Bruno Mars. Yeah. So, like, when she had cancer both times, it was when he was on top of the world and playing three shows, and tickets were $500 to get in. And then right as she got better and he was going around, like, the fourth time trying to soak the fans. Like, Taylor Swift's getting away with this for a little while. But, like, then there's just going to come a point where it's going to be $100 again, right? I'm waiting for that. And then Bruno Mars played in Philly. My wife had just gotten better. Her hair was coming back. She had enough energy to make it. And I wound up in the eighth row for like $200. And I was like, score. And we had a great time. So we've seen Bruno Mars three or four times. But when she found out Bruno Mars was playing, it was over. And then, and you know how hard it rained.
Monsoon. It was horrible.
It was a perfect Preakness day. Everything about it was great. It was one of the best days of the year. Yeah. I had a great time with my wife on Preakness, right?
We keep on trying. We keep on swinging for the fences.
We went everywhere. We did everything. We saw people. We took pictures. Hung out with the governor. Hung out with friends. Did all of this stuff. We didn't even get invited into the Under Armour. But we just had a good time. And my wife's there all day just to see Bruno Mars. And I, Carl, the storm came and it started just urinating from the sky. The minute he was ready, 8 o'clock, he was, or 7 o'clock, yeah. Whatever, 8 o'clock, whatever time was, you knew when he was coming on, and it's 7:59, the sky unloaded. Everybody's dressed to the nines. It's everybody's got a dress on. And my wife and I stood in the back of the back of the back. All of the vendors at the Preakness, like if you're, I don't know, you're selling widgets or Pepsi, you buy your little tent. They're all gone. The races are over with. The tents were still up in the back of the back of the back. My wife and I left one tent, went into another tent. The tent was smaller than this room. I mean, it was a 15 by 20 little tent, and we stayed dry.
Wow, that's
and
good.
We rocked from the back
for played?
A whole...
Oh, yeah.
God. He played in the driving. It never stopped raining. It never thought about letting up. He only played an hour. It was like a shortened set for him. But he played 1 hour in solid sideways rain. Wow. It was a storm. He played in the storm. Pat Benatar played in the storm the other night down at D.C. Pink.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah,
Pink was flying through Nats Park in the rain.
Crazy.
Taylor Swift playing in the Taylor Swift thing, I got to ask both of you about this. By the way, Dave Richard, anything else on the horse racing you got to say other than educating
No, I mean, we're in a good place. We're trying to work out our capital plan, which you and I talked about before. You know, we will have a rebuilt Pimlico coming up soon. Pimlico, most likely, will be the epicenter of racing. We have to work out the challenges with the training center.
You've been saying this to me, and I don't know.
We're working on
this.
It
is like John Angelos is going to sell the Orioles.
Well, here's the challenge. Let me tell you the challenge, and I don't want to pivot too much.
Dan Snyder left.
But the challenge is we have enough funding right now to build one racetrack. The problem is that racetrack, Pimlico cannot be the epicenter of year-round racing and training because it's not big enough. Pimlico is only about 99 acres, and in order to sustain a year-round racing product, you need about 180 to 200 acres because
you've got
to support horses. You can't put the, you can only fit 500-600 horses at Pimlico, utilizing every space. You can't support a year-round racing product with 500 to 600 horses. So, in order to do this, you need a training facility, and that's what we don't quite have the funding.
Wasn't
for
Bowie going to be that at one point a million
but
years
Bowie,
ago?
It was, and Bowie's still there and still sitting empty. But Bowie has a lot of environmental challenges as well. So does Laurel. Laurel has challenges. So there's a lot of challenges. The General Assembly appointed passed legislation to form a racetrack operating authority. They're tasked with coming up with solutions for this. They have to report back to the General Assembly by, I believe it's December 1st this year. So we'll have some clarity coming up soon. We have a lot of different options. The one constant, I'm 99% sure that Pimlico is going to be rebuilt. It's going to be the epicenter of racing. But we have to solve the training component. So that's the problem. I mean, so we're in a good spot.
You just educated me.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
We're in a very good spot. You know, we really are. We have enough money.
Carl
to build
thought
a
he had his hands full with minor league soccer, right?
I mean, so, you know, like, and you're talking about
pro soccer. Yeah, I mean, excuse me, indoor soccer, I should say, you know?
So it's challenging because you need, in order to do Pimlico, we can't allow, we can't have Pimlico go forward and build a brand new Pimlico and not have a place to store you know, to train year round. So that's the challenges that we have. So we have to work out the challenges with that. So that's what we're
It's never easy, right?
It's not. But what's been easy in Maryland? You know, that's how we do things. But we always come out.
Well,
you know,
I'm going to save all the gambling side of it for the next thing
for you.
Chris is going to come. We'll talk about OTB, betting online, mobile wagering, and all that stuff. But I got to give both of you some oxygen on this Taylor Swift thing. Because, like, we talked girls soccer and we've talked women's soccer. You've told me you both have had some Taylor Swift thing because you got daughters. You have nothing but teenage girls that are a part of this soccer community you're a part of. Is this the Beatles thing? I mean, and it's crazy for me because she's been doing this 20... I mean, I remember her going on with Def Leppard 15 years ago. I remember her when she was a little girl. I had a crush on her a little bit. Romeo, Juliet, all that stuff. The sustainability of her brand to touch... And I don't... The only young woman I have in my life is my daughter-in-law. I don't have children or... But I see this on my timeline that you are really a bad parent if you have a 14-year-old daughter and don't find a way to give Taylor Swift $800 and go, right?
I know people that spend $2,000 to go to see it. It's crazy. We had regional soccer, which if you win that, you go to nationals and play for a national championship. I had college coaches come up and say, hey, let me see your roster list. Tell me which girls didn't make it for Taylor Swift or senior week. I'm like, really? Like, yeah, if they're not committed to soccer, we're not interested. But that many people, I mean, we're playing other teams. Some teams had one sub because half his team was seeing Taylor Swift in Philly that weekend. So they made, it was a 3-day weekend for games, but they would miss one or the other because of...
Can't postpone a tournament because of Taylor, right?
No, but it shows you the phenomena that these girls are playing high-level soccer to go play in college, and they're missing one of the, missing a major, major event.
Because
it's one night, but they're going to go see Taylor
Swift. Taylor Swift's
a
bigger
she's that
event.
Big a phenomenon, yeah.
No. Did you go to the show?
No.
No?
I went to soccer.
No, so you haven't seen the show yet. I figured at some point you got dragged. Sherry dragged you? Somebody dragged you, no?
My girls, the youngest, not a big Taylor Swift fan. The oldest will listen, but not like...
Percentage of girls in your soccer team that are big Taylor Swift fans?
So I coach 09, birth year, and 05, 06. I would say 85, 90%.
It's the Beatles.
Yeah.
Well, we lived through Michael Jackson. I'm trying to think of Phil Collins. I'm trying to think of ubiquitous musical artists. Right? It's not John Wade.
Not Dishwalla. But I will say that we did a Taylor Swift night over at the bowling alley.
And what's
and
that
it
like?
Was it was recommended to me. Look, we're John Wade. We're Dishwalla
right,
guys.
Right, right, right.
So actually, my doctor, who works at the racetrack, called me and said, look, I've got an idea for you. She's a big Taylor Swift fan. She says, why don't we do a Taylor Swift night at the bowling alley? I said, great, that sounds good. We've got a video wall in our bowling alley that's literally the size of the bowling alley. It's bigger than the video wall at Raven Stadium.
By the way, I got to come to the bowling
alley. Come next door. We'll
Green Mount Bowl, Ducks and Tens. The only thing you don't have is candle pin. But that's, you don't need to. That's New England people. We don't need to have them ever here anyway,
exactly.
You know. But you have remodeled this place.
Oh, it's
a disco.
It's like a nightclub. It's unbelievable. You ought to see it.
Is it like skate land into a bowling alley?
Put into 2023.
Dude, if you could get me roller skating around the outside of the bowling rink, then we would have something. Then you'd have a real community.
I'm working on it. But no, we did a Taylor Swift night over there. Sold out 3 weeks in advance. We did a 3-hour night. We put Taylor Swift videos up. People came dressed in the Taylor Swift swag. It was dressed up with bracelets and necklaces, and it was overflowing with people.
Your next idea, Barbie night.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I like it. We're going to do Michael Jackson nights next week. Gave us a good idea. We did disco night. We're going to do hair band night. We did 80s night. 70s night was last weekend.
Hair band night.
Well, you can work it out. We can work it out.
You want me to let my hair down? It's got really long. Carl, are you freaked out on my hair? Carl used to sponsor me.
You got to tease it, though, for hair band night.
I started growing my hair long, Carl stopped sponsoring me. I don't know. Is it my hair? Honestly.
I don't know. That might get you some money off your admission if you...
How's that? Is that good?
You could be the hair band guy.
That'll work.
It was like Johnny Depp look working right now.
So we'll let you do the playlist. Why don't we do that? Why don't we do it? Why doesn't Nestor make the playlist for hair band night?
I was out on the yoga mat the other day, and I keep my hair tied up. It's really long now, right? Obviously, right? And actually, I have a little product, and it actually looks nice today. It looks good today.
It
looks nice. Well, you said hair band. If I put a star on right now, I could do Paul Stanley.
You probably see it on the
side. I could do Paul Stanley.
Hair band
when's hair band night?
Hair band night, it's going to come up on a...
I've already admitted I like
23rd,
Hampstead.
I got to look it up. Yeah, it's
I know
coming.
About
it's
the
coming.
Crab cake.
Oh, yeah, we'll work it out. We'll work
I
it
can
out.
See this.
Michael Jackson nights next Saturday, a week from this Saturday.
My hair freaks you out.
No.
No, it doesn't?
I got the aerodynamic look, so, you know. Back in the day, I had hair like that.
You got the beard going now. You got a different thing going on.
I had the Viking beard going. My wife made me shave it. I had to shim it up.
Well, I mean, you don't
I can grow it down here. It's up here.
You don't even have running water right
My hair
now,
retired before I did.
give me a little mortgage thing. Everybody, I'm going to let you get out of here. You've been kind enough to come by. You don't have running water right now. We're at Greenmount Station in beautiful Hempstead, Carroll County. Carl Delmont was our longtime sponsor, Fremont Mortgage. We did all of these Ravens things out here. Man, the mortgage industry, brother. Like, what is, I mean, I do this with Dennis over at Coons Ford. My wife was talking about getting a car, and then she called her credit union. This is 6 months ago. She's like, how many percent it was? Six what? And so, I mean, all of this, it was boomy, right? When it was 2.5%.
I mean, rates were good for a while. I mean, we're back to where, like, say, 2002 rates. But bottom line is, you know, during a pandemic, rates just dropped dramatically. And now the problem is psychologically people are married to that rate that they have. So if you have, like, a sub 3% rate, and here's the problem. Like, imagine a first-time buyer, married, no kids, bought a two-bedroom townhouse. Now they have three kids. But they're afraid to buy another house because, well, rates are X.
Because they're sitting in a 3% mortgage.
Yeah, so it's psychological to worry about that. Then you have seniors who, a lot of them are now aging in place. So it used to be, okay, we raised our family, got a four-bedroom house in the country, I don't need any more, you know, let's go. They're like, nah, I'm just going to retrofit this and I'll stay here. So it's hurting inventory, and that those combinations are driving prices up because of supply and demand. We'll see what happens. I mean,
so,
you know,
prices are up and rates are up.
And this is
that's not good.
And this is the weird thing. People are sitting on record amount of equity, but it costs a lot to tap it. So there's a lot of untapped equity right now. So Americans on paper are worth a lot of money simply because of housing. And housing will probably still go up in most areas. But I do think that rates will stabilize a little bit. I don't think we're going to see threes for a very long time. But I think we'll get back down to rates. And a lot of people are saying that psychologically it's like below six will be that number that people are like, okay, I can live with that. But, you know, I equate it a little bit to gasoline. Like, gasoline's like, what, $3.80 a gallon now? You know, a couple of years ago, it was $2-something. But people bitch, but you still buy gas, right? You still have to get to work, still have to do all the other things. If you really want to buy a house, rates are what they are. So one of the things we're doing to try to assuage those concerns, we're offering what's called a Fremont Refi. So it's a free refi. If you buy a house with us now, if rates drop in the next 3 years, as long as you qualify, you're still working, your debt ratio, your credit score, all that stuff, we'll refinance you free. So that you buy now when there's not so
much
competition.
That's a nice product you put together there.
Yeah, and then when you refinance, you're not really in competition, right? You're not one of 40 people bidding on a house. You're just saying, hey, I want to refinance, and you're one of the people in the queue that's getting ready to go and refinance. So if you can get a house today before prices ostensibly go up a little bit more, and that's the thing. Let's think about this. Let's say you're looking at a house that's $300,000 today. Let's just say the rates are 7. What happens if the house goes to 350 and rates come down to 6.5? You're still paying more for that house. So maybe it's better to buy today and then refinance later when rates drop to 6.5. You got the house at a good price. You have the equity. And
that would be the thing you'd say is you'd say, look, you're only in this for 3-5 years. You know, at some
average person's 5 to 7 years.
You know, you're going to refinance. You're going to have some bad math for a little while, but everybody is because of the time you bought it in that. But you can get into better math. I mean, that was probably part of the issue with your phone ringing off the hook during the plague. Everybody's home. Everybody's Zooming. Everybody's worried about tomorrow. I'm trying to figure out PPP. We're all trying to figure this stuff out. And refinancing became something that everybody could do at that point if they had their gig and their job to get themselves into this set for life. Well, it feels that way, right? Like if you've
I'll give you
that
a little story
mortgage,
that brings this all full circle. So it was 1994, the day OJ took off in a Bronco. I settled to buy the house and been out here. We settled here. Before, this was Greenmount Station.
Twins were in town that night. I was at the Oreo game.
It was a...
I watched the beginning part of the chase on the club level on the TV. I made it home to White Marsh to watch the rest of popcorn.
It was a pizza place with a liquor license. So my wife is sitting with the builder, his son, and his two son-in-laws. I'm stuck in traffic in Annapolis picking up the paperwork to get up here. We finally settled everything else. But back then, the guys who built my house, I paid 8% of my interest rate, but they paid 2 points to get me there because rates were 9. So I was like, I'll settle, but you got to get me a better rate. Let's pay the points. So I bought with 8%, which is much higher than rates are today. But
and you were probably thankful at the time, aren't you?
That was actually pretty good. My first was 9.75.
Wow.
I bought my first house I bought in
1986.
Yeah, when I first got into business, rates were double digits. When I first got in the mortgage business, rates were like 11, 12. So it's been that long. But, you know, historically, six and a half.
These kids don't know. They don't know.
Walking up the hill 6 miles in the snow to school, right?
7%.
Tell me how to get in touch with you, Carl.
Yeah, if you're looking for a mortgage, you got an adjustable rate, you want it just reviewed, free of charge. We never charge an application fee. Been around 30-plus years. We give a complimentary home warranty on all purchases. You need a realtor, we'll match you one for free. You can reach us even on weekends. Need that pre-approval, you can contact us at 800-955-8508. Social media, and, of course, our website, Fremont, F-R-E-E-D. MONT.com and the last number 1846.
I'm going to hold on to you for a segment. All right, grab Chris Richard. Dave Richardson's up here. We're at Greenmount Station. They together have put together this beautiful little parking lot. We got a disco rockin' bowl over here in Greenmount Bowl with ducks and tens. We have great, great crab cakes here, and I'm going to tell my crab cake story of the day I met Chris. I met Chris at a charity event on the club level at the football stadium for Big Brothers Big Sisters with I'm trying to think of who was a part. My wife was and I were a part of it. We were asked to make a meal for the people. We were, it's like celebrity chef thing. So we did this pork nacho thing, and Chris was there and had these unbelievable little crab balls. I'm like, those things are unbelievably good. Where are you? Hampstead. Who goes to Hampstead? Carroll County. I'm a city boy. I'm Dundalk. This is 20 years ago, and it's probably 2004, 5, mm-hmm. 6, somewhere. And I was newlywed at the time. And Greenmount Station, I've seen it grow three different times. It's grown through the wall here. You know, I come out here now, they're like, which room do you want to do the show in? And I'm like, I want to do it in the function room with the big Greenmount Station sign behind us. So Dave's going to stick around. Chris is going to be here. Carl's going to go back, try to get his water running, try to get a razor blade. Give Sherry my love. How's she doing? You good?
She's doing good. She's out with some friends right now. And actually, I think she's just over at a friend's house so she can get the shower because, like I said, we're on a well. So no power, no water, no anything. We're just using a generator to keep the two fridges going and a fan on at night.
Well, tell Sherry, darling, I'll be seeing Springsteen in a couple weeks. He's coming down.
Yeah, he's playing in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Sounds
he's
good.
Got a whole Springsteen story from.
Uh-oh.
You want tell him your Springsteen story, because it's a great story.
Yeah, actually, I was just in the basement yesterday getting the fan, and I saw the all the signed memorabilia I have. I've got the River album signed and a bunch of stuff. But so my senior year of high school, I'm getting ready to go to college, and a friend of mine and I, he has since passed.
This is it's a top 100 all-time story. It really is. It's pretty good.
We go down to close to the beach, went to the beach to go surfing. Waves weren't that great, so I'm like, I'm going to go back to the golf
course. What year is this?
82.
82, okay.
Go back and... I said, I'm going to go back to work. So I need the money for college. So he hung out. Well, he finds a wallet in the ground. And, like, literally 3 weeks early, he found a wallet. It was one of his former teachers. Huh. So he finds this wallet. He's like, man, this is the biggest Springsteen fan ever. Well, he opens up and finds a business card. And I think at the time, Springsteen's manager was named, like, Swoopy or Snoopy or Sloopy or something, some weird thing. But he ended up calling, and he's like, I got this wallet, and I guess it's yours. And she goes, oh, that's Bruce's. So literally, like, 2 days later, Bruce showed up. My friend lived two doors down from me, went over his house. I had cut my foot at a pool party on a broken beer bottle, but I didn't cast. So Bruce is like, you know, if you had a cast, I'd sign it. I'm like, I live two doors down. So I sent my little brother back. He goes and gets the River album and a drawing, a pen and ink I did of Born to Run cover. I got a follow-up story you'll like on this one.
So anyway, I don't know this part of the story.
So, yeah, he signed both those, the Born to Run coverage framed. He wrote Not Bad, Bruce Springsteen, signed by Springsteen. When I went to college, I had one of those giant concert posters, the River that he signed, a bunch of other stuff. And then I had an Italian exchange student staying with us and one staying next door, Massimo Giuseppe. I was only 17. Drinking age was 18 in Jersey at the time. So Bruce was like, hey, why don't you guys come with us? We'll go to Clarence's. I'm like, can I go? He's like, how old are you? I'm like, 17. He goes, no. I'm like, come on, please. He's like, no, you can't get in. So they all went all night at Clarence's bar, which was like 3 blocks from my town. That was kind of cool. But the follow-up story is years later, I got to see them at Hershey. And a radio station, I do some stuff with up there, got us tickets. And we got like sort of backstage passes. And little Steven came out. So it was time for the Sopranos and all the other stuff. So I showed him, I had a picture of the album, the Born to Run thing. And he said, why don't you pick Clarence? He goes, you said Bruce. I'm like, you can see I'm not that good of an artist. There's no way doing a pen and ink of Clarence. It would look horrible. He bust out laughing. I had this picture of him with that, you know, that ha ha ha. You know, it's just like the total goofball. But it was very common for people where we grew up to see Springsteen. Max Weinberg's wife was a teacher in our school. It was just, you saw him, it was no big deal. It was like, hey, what's up? I mean, he would go to the gym and people would work out and he'd leave him alone because it was just like, He's one of us, I guess.
Buddy finds Springsteen's wallet. That,
that's
right?
Crazy.
It's crazy.
40 years later, still a good story. All right, we're out here telling stories. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. I'm giving these away. We're going to have some lucky folks out here. We had a $100 winner at Coco's a couple weeks ago. Had a $5 winner last week at Costas. People don't tell me when they win. I'm convinced it's like somebody really won 10 grand here. They wouldn't come up and say, hey, I just won 10 grand. They just put it in their pocket, walk out the door, call John Martin. David Richards is here. Chris Richards is going to be joining us. Carl Delmont's going to, we're going to bid him adieu from Fremont Mortgage. It's all brought to you by our friends at Window Nation, 866-90-NATION. 1 year anniversary was August 8th. That was yesterday. August 8th, I got my windows last year. Great, great decision. It improved certainly the value of my house, but more than that, my cat loves it. I love it. It's been great all week having the windows open as well, and they're not stuck anymore and all wooden and falling apart. My windows were 39 years old. It was time. 866-90-NATION, the way to find them. And, of course, our friend Leonard Raskin from Raskin Global with the Raskin Global crab mallet that I'm going to use to claw open a beer at some point here over at Costas. We're back for more from Greenmount Station. It is the Maryland Crab Cake Tour right here on WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Hamden and Baltimore Positive.